Chapter 5. The Canterville ghost saw immediately what had happened. He had been tricked. The twins had made the ghost from the turnip, the broom, and an old sheet. The ghost had never been so insulted. He remembered his past successes and his 300-year career as the ghost of Canterville Chase. And he remembered the wicked curse that would bring him revenge. He raised his hands above his head and moaned the words,
"When the cockerel calls twice, blood will appear, and there will be more murder in Canterville Chase. Someone will die."
Just as he finished his curse, he heard the sound of the cockerel at Red Farm call out once. He laughed his wicked laugh and waited. Hour after hour he waited, but the cockerel did not call out again. Finally, at 7:30, the housemaids arrived to clean the house, and the ghost gave up waiting. He went back to his room and looked in his books on ancient ghosts. All the books told him that on every occasion that the curse had been used, the cockerel had called out twice. "Stupid cockerel," said the ghost. "If he were anywhere near me now, I would make sure that was his last call." The ghost didn't care about the cockerel. He had decided to get his revenge on the twins, and nothing would stop him now. He lay down in his comfortable coffin and rested until the evening. The next day, the ghost felt sick and tired. The Otis family had been at Canterville Chase for 4 weeks now, and the ghost was beginning to feel exhausted. He had never been nervous before, in life or in death. But now, if he heard a little noise, he jumped up in shock. He stayed in his room for 5 days. He only left to renew the bloodstain on the library floor. Eventually, he decided to give up renewing it. If the Otis family did not want a bloodstain, he did not want to continue renewing it. They were clearly stupid people, and he did not want to waste any more time on them. It was his duty to appear in the corridor once a week and to moan from the large window in the library twice a month. He felt he needed to continue with his duties. Although his life had been very wicked, he tried to do everything correctly. Now it was over, but he wouldn't do any more. For the next 3 Saturdays, the ghost walked the corridor between midnight and 3 o'clock, but he made sure nobody saw him or heard him. He removed his boots and walked as quietly as possible, wearing a large velvet sheet. He even used the rising sun lubricator on his chains so they didn't rattle. This was difficult to do because the lubricator had been put back in Mr. Otis's bedroom. So, one evening, when the family were eating supper, the ghost had to creep in and take the bottle. He felt a little embarrassed using the lubricator at first, but when he had tried it, he found it very efficient, and it helped him to carry out his duties without anyone noticing him. But even though the ghost tried to be silent and only went out after midnight, he was still attacked, and the twins still laughed at him. He often tripped over strings that they had tied across the corridor, and one night there was butter on the floor, so he fell and hurt his back. He felt so insulted by all this that he decided to try one last time to teach the twins a lesson. He planned to visit them as the Headless Earl the next night. The Canterville ghost had not appeared as the Headless Earl for more than 70 years. The last time he had done it, he frightened Lady Barbara Modish so much that she broke off her engagement with Lord Canterville's grandfather and ran away to marry the handsome Jack Castletown. "Nothing will make me marry into a family that has such a horrible ghost walking the corridor at night," she cried as she fled. Lord Canterville later shot Jack Castletown, and Lady Barbara died of a broken heart. So the ghost thought it was a very successful haunting. The problem with the Headless Earl was that it was an extremely difficult costume, and it took the ghost 3 hours to prepare for his appearance. Finally, he was ready. His big leather riding boots were a little too big, and he could only find one of the 2 guns he normally carried. But when he had taken off his head, he was quite satisfied. At 1:15, the Headless Earl appeared through the wall and glided silently down the corridor. He didn't want to make any noise until he got to the twins' bedroom. When the ghost reached the twins' bedroom, the door was a little open. He wanted to scare the horrible boys, so he pushed the door open with a loud crash, and a heavy jug of water fell down on him. The water covered him, and the jug hit his left shoulder and fell at his feet. The ghost's headless earl costume was wet through, and his boots were full of water. He thought the gun wouldn't shoot again. At the same moment, he heard shouts of laughter from the twins' beds. The ghost was so shocked that he fled back to his room, and he spent all the next day in bed with a bad cold and a hurting shoulder. He only left his room to get some of Dr. Dobell's medicine from Mrs. Otis's room. The only good thing was that he had not taken his head with him. If he had taken it, he would have been much more seriously hurt.